إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, I am in Sri Lanka and right now I'm looking out of my window at the sea, and it's a very different sea from what it was yesterday. Today it's very grey, big clouds in the sky, there is lightning flashing very frequently. Quite a change in weather. This is supposed to be the summer. They're not supposed to have these out of season rains and so on, but this is what's been happening to our climate, as we all know. All kinds of changes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the evil thereof. Yesterday was a very wonderful, uplifting and positive day for me, because I did two things. I visited Al Iman schools, the primary section, which is the section of children from the age of 2 to 5, and then the secondary school section, ages 8 to 15. I spoke to them at the secondary school section. The primary school section was just interaction and chatting with them, and I love chatting to these little ones. They ask you the most amazing questions that you can't even imagine. And alhamdulillah, meeting small children and listening to them and listening to their questions helps to keep you grounded. There are no pretensions, there are no acting. It's absolute truth and complete spontaneity. Whatever comes to their mind, they tell you that. One of the things they did was to present me with a thank you card for visiting them. I thank them for inviting me. And it had their fingerprints. So the card I'm attaching a photo of that here. Has all these fingerprints, and one little one is about probably 2 or 3 years old. He pointed to a particular fingerprint and said, "That is mine." I don't know whether he really was, you know, whether he knew that or not, but it was so nice. He's putting his fingerprint there and he's telling me, "Look, I put my fingerprint on this." Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them and bless them. Wonderful dedicated work by all the people concerned with this school. May Allah grant them great success and enable their dreams to come true with regard to educating our people and educating the Ummah. The second one was my meeting at the Jamiat Ulama Sri Lanka, ACJU, All Ceylon Jamiat Ulama, the head of which is an old friend of mine, Mufti Rizvi, Damat Barakatuh, and he had been wanting me to come and visit the Jamiat and to see their work. He's been after me for a long time, but unfortunately I wasn't able to do it until yesterday. And one of the things that I know his work, and the reason I'm mentioning this is because I think there is much to be learnt from the work of the ACJU in Sri Lanka, much to be learned for the Jamiats in other countries, and much to be learned for people running Muslim institutions in other countries. I strongly advocate and recommend that there are two institutions which heads of Muslim organizations absolutely must visit. One is the JDT in Calicut. JDT is the name of the organization in Calicut. Go and see their work. See the Iqra Hospital, see the ITI that they run, which Toyota has sponsored and given them the entire Toyota car engines to train their students, and Toyota absorbs them. See the absolutely wonderful work that JDT, Kunji Mama Sahib, CP Kunji Mama Sahib is the head of that, So go to Calicut and see Jerry T, and come to Colombo and visit the Jamaat Ulama Sri Lanka, ACJU. See what work they are doing. There is a huge amount of learning. It's absolutely uplifting and encouraging thing for me, because usually, may Allah forgive me, but usually Islamic organizations that I have always seen are known for bad quality, are known for chalta hai kind of work, very absolutely no focus on quality, no focus on details. It's a very frustrating thing. But the ACJU is the opposite of all that. I remember the statement of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, "Laysa al-khabaru kal-mu'ayna." He said the news or the khabar is not the same as going and seeing yourself, as observing. And that's true. It was true for me when I visited the Jamaat Ulama yesterday. Because although, as I said, Mufti Rizvi Sahib is a dear friend of mine for many years now, he has been mentioning the work, so I knew what they were doing. But when I went to the Jamaat yesterday, they took me for a tour of the whole Jamaat, and then we sat in their boardroom and they made a presentation of what they are doing. Very, very amazing. Now, two critical things, or three critical things in that, which I want to share with you. One is the focus on quality, and that is very clearly visible in the Jamaat in every single thing, in the coordination of the glasses and the jugs on the on the boardroom table, in the arrangements of the chairs. I asked to go to the washroom, which is where, when I do a PCMM audit, that's where I start, in the washroom. So anyway, I needed the washroom also. I wasn't doing an audit here, but so I went to the washroom. Absolutely, spick and span. It's totally, and it is attached to a bedroom that they have there for any guests who need to rest. Very, very neat, very clean. I could be looking at a room of a 5-star hotel. That is the level of cleanliness and order in the Jamaat. And that's only one small piece of it. Then the kind of work that they are doing in education, living in a multicultural, pluralistic society, in interfaith relationships, dealing with internal differences of masalik and mazahib within our own people, absolutely amazing work. Now, three critical things that I saw there, which is really the subject of my Fajr-e Maarif today. One is quality. There is attention to detail, and that's the, as they say, God is in the details. So attention to detail in the Jamaat Ulama, and of course also in Al-Iman schools. Very, very close attention to detail. I am putting up also a photograph of the shoe rack in Al-Iman schools. And this is the primary school that we went to. See the design of the shoe rack. It's made of PVC pipes. And so it looks nice. And then of course it's properly used, so there's no shoes scattered everywhere. The shoes are in the rack. Such a nice design, very easy to replicate as well. So maybe in our masajid and so on, we can make a shoe rack like that. And of course, our bigger challenge is that is to how do you train not 2-year-olds but 40 years and 50 years and 60 years olds to put their shoes in the rack. The amazing level of indiscipline that we have everywhere. So the attention to detail. So the quality in both these places. Quality is supreme. Without quality, we have nothing. The second thing was consistency. So it's not enough to do something good once when the pyramids were being built. It is necessary to do something good every single time we do it. So quality is not what happens once. Quality is what happens every single time. which brings us to consistency. So when you have quality and consistency, these two create reliability. Reliability builds trust, and trust enables influence and leadership. Let me repeat that. Quality done consistently creates reliability, which builds trust, which enables influence and leadership. Now, this is something that I saw yesterday in the Jamiat. And what contributes to quality, what is absolutely critical for quality, is metrics, is measurements. I was very surprised, very pleasantly surprised, to see the level of measurements of the work of the Jamiat and the results. For example, they have a counseling center where people come for marriage counseling, for all kinds of counseling. There are men and women, ulama, who are trained and certified. They have degrees, they have diplomas in counseling. So they're not just sitting there because of the goodness of their heart, who are counseling. And hourly updates are sent to the Jamiat on WhatsApp. So every time one counseling meeting is over, it is updated in the Jamiat. As I was sitting there in that meeting, I could see the updates coming up. Now, I have never seen anything like this. I mean, Allah alam, because here is a Muslim organization, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them, who are so focused on quality and on consistency, and they have measurements for all of that. The office bearers of the Jamiat, the people who are in charge of the different faculties and the different kinds of work that they are doing, amazing level of educational qualifications that these people have. You are not looking at the standard 6 or 8 year old madrasa graduate here. You are looking at people who are also madrasa graduates, but these people have done a hell of a lot more than simply going to a madrasa and coming out of there and calling themselves alim. These people have done, they have recognized degrees and diplomas in the area of their work. The person in charge of halal certification has a diploma and a degree in food. The person who is in charge of counseling, he is himself a professional counselor with a degree and diploma in counseling, and so on and so forth. So here is a situation where the Jamiat Ulama Sri Lanka can prove to the world that it is possible to run a Muslim, Islamic, religious, theological organization in a highly professional manner with people who have the qualifications to stand on their own on any platform. Any of these people can go and get jobs in secular or non-religious organizations at the same level or higher level than what they are in the Jamiat. Obviously, I'm not recommending they do that, but I'm saying this is what this is the power of focusing on quality and on measurement of that quality, on quality and on the metrics which tell us whether this quality is happening or not. Final point I want to make here is that when we look at all this, both the Jamiat and the Aliman schools, if you look at them, they are very small organizations. They are unique. One needs to obviously replicate these models all over the world. But as we speak today, there is only one Jamiat in Sri Lanka, which is like this. Now, one of the things, for example, which they have done, and thanks to this work that is led by Mufti Rizvi, Dawan Barakatuhum, which is to have, they have created credibility for themselves in the country, where they have only one Darul Ifta which gives fatwa. They don't have dozens of muftis giving all kinds of fatwas everywhere for everything, which is absolute godsend for our TV channels in India, for example. Here that doesn't happen because there is only one fatwa organization, which is the Jamiat Ulama, and nobody else gives fatwa. They give fatwa. And second thing is that because of this, they have built a credibility where the government consults them for any issue they have and for to clarify any doubt that they may have. This is something that I know happens also in South Africa. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them. But I'm saying that these are things that need to be talked about, need to be shared, that we need to learn from. So I think it's very important for us to keep this in mind and to share these experiences. And as I said, I recommend this to the leaders of Muslim organizations everywhere in the world. Please come to Sri Lanka and visit the Jamiat Ulama and see their work, and also visit Calicut, JDT, and see their work. Two Muslim organizations which Alhamdulillah are doing absolutely excellent work, which I strongly recommend. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and support them and protect them and use them for His purpose. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.